Cassette on Cape Talk.
Maintaining your mental health is one of the great things that one needs to do, and it's understandable to feel vulnerable and overwhelmed reading or hearing news about the outbreak. And it's a very stressful time for everyone, and for those who suffer from anxiety, depression, and any other kind of mental illness, it becomes a bit of a problem. And the impact has been magnified during this particular period. So how are people supposed to cope? How does one manage anxiety and loneliness during quarantine, especially for older people? I got a call from the daughter of the lady staying across the road from me and says, please go and see now. I can't come from where I am to put my mom's electricity in. And, you know, she's 85. Will you please go and help her? So obviously I took the light and I put my mask on and took all the safety precautions and went to go and assist this lady. But she is on her own. So that loneliness during quarantine becomes a major problem. This evening we speak to a psychiatrist, Dr. Imtiaz Hussain. This was done for the Islamic Medical Association coping mechanisms to deal with during lockdown. And we speak to Dr. Imtiaz Hussain this evening, who is a psychiatrist at the Islamic Medical Association. Imtiaz, a very good evening to you and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Zane. How are you?
All good. When I started looking at your YouTube delivery, I found that you had a number of tips on how people can manage their anxiety over this period of time. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, so in the clip I did, there were six areas that I looked at, so I can briefly discuss those with you. And I think, I would echo what you mentioned earlier, that, you know, it's a time when people are feeling very vulnerable and very distressed. So I think some of these tips might be helpful.
One of the tips that you deal with is dealing with information overload. And I think that is one of the big problems these days, that there's such a lot of information coming. How do we deal with this?
Yeah, so look, I think the first thing is obviously people do need to be informed. So I think it's not about telling people not to sort of access information. But I think what I would suggest is you need to pick one or two reputable sites, you know, either a news site or something like the WHO World Health Organization site, where you're going to get reputable information, because unfortunately there is a lot of misinformation and fake news, which can also unfortunately then generate a lot of panic and unnecessary anxiety and worry. So choose one or two reputable sites where you'll get your information, and then schedule a specific time each day when you will check these sites. So rather than sort of endlessly or periodically checking throughout the day, you know, choose maybe a time in the morning and a time in the evening. And then also, very importantly, set a limit on how much time you actually spend on that activity. So it might be like 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, 10 or 15 minutes in the evening. So this can then also help you to minimize becoming overwhelmed and overloaded with the sheer volume of information that's out there about COVID-19. So I think that's one of the tips I would suggest around about managing the sort of, you know, media, or, you know, the overload in terms of information. And the problem is that it's sort of an endless stream. I just find that, you know, the amount of information is just, you know, limitless. It's impossible to keep up with it.
Yeah, I think it's also because we are not only concentrating on focusing on what's happening in our country itself, but we're also sort of comparing it and looking to what's happening in the United States at the moment. I was looking at the global statistics where you are looking at about 1.3 million people infected and, you know, more in the United States, and how many deaths there are in every country. And we tend to compare that, but you're quite right. We need to sort of limit the time that we spend on actually looking for that information and dealing with that information. Tip number two is actually psychological well-being. And, you know, how do I maintain this? Because at the best of times, when it's normal times, it's kind of difficult to maintain that.
Yeah. So, well, I think you're right. But I think particularly at this time, you know, with all the stress that people are under, and also the fact that, you know, given the current situation, many people are isolated. So the fact that, you know, you have lockdown and people need to stay away from other people, that increases and magnifies that sense of isolation, loneliness. So the psychological well-being, you know, is negatively impacted by the fact that, you know, people will feel overwhelmed, despondent, hopeless. You gave the example about the elderly lady living across the way from you. So the fact that, you know, she can't see her daughter, you know, that must be very distressing for her. So all of this can lead to a spiraling of negative thoughts. So one of the first things is looking at changing your thinking patterns. So, for example, reframing your thoughts. So I have an example where, you know, instead of having the thought, oh, I'm stuck in this house, oh, I'm here alone, you know, you can reframe that, change that into a more positive thought. For example, you could say, oh, now I've got time to do those activities that I wanted to do. You could, for example, decide to tackle maybe some tasks that you haven't for a long time. So those tasks that you tend to avoid, or some DIY work, perhaps an opportunity to reorganize or maybe create something new that you've always wanted to do. So the point is, it can be an opportunity for you to look for the positives in the situation instead of just focusing on the negatives. And for some people, it might even be an opportunity for them to sort of slow down and actually focus on themselves. So by doing all of this, you know, particularly changing those thinking patterns and focusing on the positives, this can then have a beneficial effect on your emotions and your mental state. And I would suggest that, you know, at least try and set yourself one productive task per day. And this can then lead to a more positive, optimistic attitude. And also gives you a sense of achievement. And then the second important tip I would suggest is practicing mindfulness. So for people that maybe are not familiar with mindfulness, it's a type of meditation. It's a type of focused attention. And it helps you to focus what's happening at the present. So one of the problems that you tend to find, particularly with anxiety and people worrying, is that they worry about what's going to happen in the future. So will I get corona? What's going to happen if I get corona? Will I get sick? Will I die? So it's all about future-focused anxiety and worries. And what you need to do is you need to bring the mind back to the present moment. So actually, I'm here now. I'm in my home now. I'm with my family now. Well, I've got this particular task to do. So by doing that, it helps you to reduce that overthinking and those negative thoughts. So there's lots of informative websites, online videos that teach mindfulness. I think that would be a useful task to do. So if you've got, you know, time on your hands, go in Google and you know, YouTube, and you find lots of information about mindfulness. And the important thing is to practice that on a regular basis.
Mm. And how important is it for us to maintain a routine? Because, you know, sometimes to maintain the same routine is also not good. But how important is it to maintain a routine? And what, you know, what should you look for in that particular routine?
Yeah, so I think maintaining a routine, particularly this time, is important, because one of the problems with being in lockdown is that you have this long extended period where you're at home, which can very quickly result in a loss of your daily structure. So if you think about under normal circumstances, somebody would go into school or university or work, so automatically the day is structured because they have to get up at a particular time, they have to get ready, get to work, get to school at a particular time, they have a set number of activities or scheduled number of activities, and then they get home at a particular time in the afternoon or the evening. So the day is structured for them. So by being home, you lose that structure, and then it's very quick to fall, or very easy to fall, into a more lethargic lifestyle. You then start developing unhealthy patterns, like, for example, going to sleep very late and getting up much later. So then this can lead to disruption of your sleep-wake cycle, your circadian rhythm. And this, unfortunately, can then have a negative impact on your mood at a later point. So the importance about establishing a routine is that you try and have a routine that is as close to your normal routine as possible. So including, for example, sleeping at your normal bedtime. So even though you don't have to go to work, get up at the time that you would normally go to work, and then, you know, go to sleep at a reasonable time in the evening, so to get ready for you to get up and have enough sleep at the usual time. And then also you need to have a balanced range of activities in your day. So for those people that are working from home or studying from home, obviously you have to schedule in time for that. But you also need to make time for some leisure activities, a bit of downtime, maybe time for your chores. Also, very importantly, get exercise. Even though you may not be able to go to the gym, there's many different types of exercises you can do at home. And you talked about walking up and down the stairs, for example. But keeping physically fit will also help your mental health. And obviously self-care, and I think also important, like, you know, for the Muslims, it's Ramadan, so time for prayer, time for contemplation. I mean, even for those that are not Muslim, I think, you know, it's a very important aspect of maintaining your mental health. And then also very importantly is obviously healthy meals, but more importantly is having set meal times. Because one of the problems you find is that when people are bored, many of them overeat, or they eat because they're bored. So having set meal times can also help to minimize that overeating. And obviously with COVID, we need to remember to incorporate good hygiene practices. So, you know, remember regular hand washing. Another problem with being isolated is that many of us will then stay indoors. And we do need to get some sunlight. So we need to get up, maybe if you've got a front garden or backyard, sit there, get a bit of sunlight, because your body needs exposure to sunlight to produce vitamin D, which can also have an impact on your mood. So having this sort of schedule, a regular schedule, a predictable schedule, can also give you a sense of order. So it helps you psychologically. It can be quite reassuring. Also very importantly, it'll help you to readjust when you have to return back to school, university, or work.
And having a look at social networking and maintaining these social networks in terms of family and friends, and, you know, you're normally not able to see the grandchildren, but you can actually, you know, video call them or WhatsApp call them. Maintaining those social networks and maintaining the contact with other people when you are under lockdown and when you are under quarantine becomes actually a lot more important. And, you know, one doesn't want to overdo it. You don't want to call everybody every single day, but just maintaining that routine and finding out what's happening in their lives and telling them about what's happening in your life also sort of presents a sort of a coping mechanism, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, we know from research that social support is an important factor in protecting against the negative impact of stressful events. And if you think about, you know, under normal circumstances, if there's a crisis, if there's a problem, generally people would rally around that individual, family members would rally around that individual. So we have this concept of people coming, showing support, showing solidarity at a time of crisis. But because of the outbreak we have to do the exact opposite, which is stay away. So it's the antithesis of what we would normally do in a time of crisis. So, you know, it can cause a significant amount of distress when you're already feeling down, feeling hopeless, feeling isolated, that you can't also then reach out and get support. So fortunately, I mean, we have modern technology, so, you know, friends and family members can still connect with each other through, you know, modern technology devices. We've got smartphones, we've got video calls, we've got computers. So social media platforms has been a very valuable way in which many people have been able to stay in touch. Also, I think it's you know, with people having more time on their hands, it's also an ideal time to maybe look up some long-lost friends, long-lost relatives, make new friends. For example, I've been contacting an old friend of mine from medical school who is in Australia. And, you know, because I've got a bit of extra time, so we've just been chatting on WhatsApp. So that's an example of somebody I haven't chatted to for a very long time. And, you know, just able to chat to him now. So also think about connecting to people in community who might be quite isolated. So again, you know, the example of the elderly lady living across you. So there are many other people who might be feeling quite isolated right now. So it's important to maybe also reach out to them through social media. And we know that, you know, maintaining this positive social and family support can reduce the feelings of isolation and can help against, you know, the negative impact of stress. So it is really important to maintain the social network.
Chatting this evening to Dr. Imtiaz Hussain, and he is the psychiatrist at the Islamic Medical Association of South Africa, and we're chatting about how do you cope? How do you actually cope? I think the first and second week of quarantine was the most difficult part for people to cope with, and eventually they started learning how to cope with this quarantine and how to, not quarantine, but how to cope with the lockdown and how to go through it. We have Rene on the line, Doctor, and Rene is from Kenilworth, and she wants some advice for people with depression. Renee, a very good evening to you, and your question for the doctor.
Yes. Hi, Zane. I just want to say it's very, very difficult. You know, I've been amazing on all my medications, but this lockdown has just, it's actually, I don't know what it's done. I don't know what to me. My daughter had a little prem baby at the end of January. We haven't seen him now for nearly 7 weeks, and I'm just not coping. You know, I'm such a positive person, but at the moment I am absolutely beside myself. I don't know what to do.
Doctor, some advice for Renee?
Yeah, so look, I think, Renee, obviously the circumstances that we're under are extraordinary. So, you know, many people are feeling very distressed and very vulnerable at this particular time.
Yeah.
I think the other important thing, which is sort of my tip number six, but I'll kind of bring it forward, is, you know, about monitoring your mental well-being. So several sort of symptoms of depression and anxiety that we know. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling fearful, if you're having physical symptoms, then that should sort of alert you that maybe you're not coping as well. And if that is the case, then you should really be reaching out for maybe some professional help. So there's lots of, you know, help available. There's national organizations. We've got people like Crisis Line. You've got South African Depression and Anxiety Group. So they have call centers. They've got information on their website. And I think, you know, where you're struggling, sometimes it's helpful just to be able to call out to a counselor and have a chat to them and maybe get some reassurance or maybe get some practical tips. And then if you still feel you're really struggling, then you can certainly, you know, look up professionals, so psychiatrists, psychologists, and get a bit more support. And conveniently, many of us are offering video consultations. We're offering telephone support. So you can really access professional help without leaving your house at this current time.
Look, that's wonderful advice.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is I've been so amazing on my medication, but at the moment things are just not going right. And, you know, one doesn't realize when you can't see your children, you can't.
Yeah.
It's just, and it makes my depression worse. I actually don't need to see a psychiatrist because I think I am coping all right.
Mm.
But the depression just hits you when you're so low and you can't see your children. And, you know, it's very hard.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
Rene, you know, the thing is I can identify with you. And thanks, Rene, for the call. That's Rene from Kenilworth. And, Doctor, it's sometimes difficult because, you know, I've got children out in New Zealand and out in Australia. And it's sometimes, you know, that because of the time difference, it's difficult to chat to them and it's difficult to link up with them. And you know, my daughter in New Zealand is going to be giving birth in June, so it becomes difficult. But here is the difference for me, and we're chatting this evening to Dr. Imtiaz Hussain, who's a psychiatrist, about well-being. And this is the key thing for me. There are times when you can phone your friend and talk to your friend about certain things. And there are times that you can phone a family member and talk to a family member about certain things. But there are definite certain times where you need to seek professional advice, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's why. I mean, Rene makes a good point, which is, you know, somebody or some people might have been coping very well pre-lockdown. And because of the stress and the tension and the isolation, you know, that is sufficient to just tip you over into feeling very distressed. And interestingly, I mean, if you look at the data overseas, in places like Italy, where, you know, they've been under lockdown for a much longer period, there's definitely an increase in the rates of depression and anxiety and even suicide as a consequence. So, you know, we're still fairly early on in this lockdown process, but I think no doubt, you know, we're starting to see the sequelae and the consequences of the lockdown and the anxiety and the stress that's occurring because of that.
Yeah.
So I think this is why also it's important to talk about mental health. You know, we talk a lot about the physical health and the physical distancing, but it's just as important to focus on the mental health aspects, because often that's the hidden part that you don't get to see.
Yeah. Doctor, we've got another call in from Mary Jean out in Plumstead, and she says joining a WhatsApp group helped her. Mary Jean, a very good evening to you and welcome to the show.
Hello and hello, Doctor. Good evening. In New Zealand, what they decided to do at the beginning of lockdown is that they got the children to put teddy bears in the window on a daily basis, and they put the teddy bears doing different things related to the book we're going on, a bear hunt. So I've got a number of friends who've got children and grandchildren, and so what I've got is a panda bear. So pandemic, every day is up to different kinds of exploits. And in fact, some of the people have been asking with a pandemic was reading a book about a happy hedgehog band, and they wanted to know whether pandemic would enjoy joining an orchestra. And so, as I said, every day I've got a group of about 7 people, and then they pass it on to their children and grandchildren, and some of them are, the children are in New Zealand and all around. As an extrovert, being indoors or being at home for more than 2 weeks could have been really stressful, but I found that being involved in different WhatsApp groups and also being an armchair activist, helping people source food for our local community action network have been ways to fulfill the need. I don't have to run around anywhere but from my armchair and using data do that. Survival tactics, but it's been fun.
That's Mary Jean in Plumstead. Thank you so much for your contribution. And that's the positive thing, isn't it, Doctor? There are definitely ways of getting involved in the community and getting involved. And as Mary Jean says, that you know, she does it from her armchair. It's as easy as that.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to my earlier point, which is, you know, looking for the positives in the situation. And I think also, you know, the reality is that we're going to be stuck with this corona problem for a while. So I think it also means that we then have to start looking at new ways of doing things and new ways of connecting, and, you know, adjusting to the problem that we have.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Mary Jean gives a lovely example of how, you know, she's adapted in some ways and is still able to help, but in a slightly different way. Yeah. I think also she raises, if you've got a minute or two, another important point, which is we didn't talk about children. And the fact is that the lockdown may be particularly difficult for them. So if you think about children, you know, they often running around, they're meeting their friends, and they're going to school. So their normal routine has been significantly disrupted. And particularly they've been at home for such a long time. And also there's a lot of uncertainty about when they're going to go back to school. So I think it's important for the adults to really be mindful and to be aware that, you know, the younger ones, kids need maybe more attention, support and care at this time. And I think particularly for the younger ones, they may feel very confused and worried. In fact, I had a case where a younger one was quite concerned because their parent had developed COVID. And again, going back to all the news reports, so the first instinct is that, you know, this parent is going to die or they're going to be in hospital, even though the person had a very mild illness. So kids need reassurance. And I think it's also important for the parents to encourage kids to talk about their concerns, to talk about what's happening in the news, and also to keep them informed, but, you know, keep them informed in a realistic way, but, you know, give them information at a level that they can understand. And this can also help to alleviate some of their fears and anxieties. So I think we shouldn't forget about the children in all of this as well.
Yeah. It's an important conversation to have. Dr. Imtiaz Hussain is a psychiatrist, and we can chat for probably another hour, and quite a number of voice notes and quite a number of messages coming in on 021-446-0567. You can give us a call if you've got questions for the doctor, and then on 072-567-1567 for your text messages as well as your voice notes. We still wanted to get through spiritual well-being, but we are dealing with Maulana Abdul Khaliq Ibrahim Ali, as well as a reverend from the St. Michael's Catholic Church on the spiritual well-being, which is one of the important things also for a number of people, and that connection that we normally have with the mosque on a Friday and the church on a Sunday, you know, that's also been disturbed. And doctor, I think what we have, the thing is actually is I think that what we're living with at the moment is probably going to be the new normal for us going forward. What people would like to know, doctor, is where can they find this video of yours, where it is available, and where can people access this video of yours?
Yeah, so the video's on YouTube. It's under the Islamic Medical Association of South Africa, so IMA. It's called Coping with the Lockdown. And also, if people need help, like I said, there's several agencies they can contact, the national organizations like SADC. They're also welcome to call me. So I'm based at Vincent Pallotti Hospital and Rondebosch Medical Center. They can Google those institutes and find me. And then, there's also they can access help through GPs and their local psychiatrist as well. Or they can just contact the South African or the Islamic Medical Association of South Africa. Again, via their website, you'll be able to see my video.
That's Dr. Imtiaz Hussain, psychiatrist at the Islamic Medical Association. Talking about coping, it is such a difficult thing. I am normally a very active person, Brett, and Brett will know this. I'm all over the show. I'm standing in for Abungile, then I'm standing in for Leicester, then I'm doing a show for Pippa, then I've got traffic in the morning, Monday to Friday, then I'm busy over weekends, and I'm busy in the afternoons. I'm such an incredibly busy person, and I always say that busy people, busy people always have time. It's the lazy people who never have time for anything, but busy people always have time. But I have had to really pull myself back over the last 5 weeks and sit down and find other things to do, pack the garage and, sort of get in contact with other things in my life that I sort of don't always get into contact with. And it's essential, and keeping contact with the grandchildren is always a situation of video calling them, WhatsApp video calling them, and I have to call them separately because the little one, Sebastian, always wants to take over when it comes to video calling both of them at the same time. So I've got to video call them separately. But how have you coped? This is what I would love to know from you. 0214460567, 0725671567. Have you coped? Are you coping? It's a little bit of a breather for us now that we're going into level 4. So I think about a million people go back to work in the Western Cape tomorrow, and it'll be that opportunity where even if they're going to just be working half a day, it's fine, but they will have that opportunity to unpack and just go to work and be back in that familiar surroundings. It is a major disruption. Give us a call, 021-446-0567.